We're going to remember now the acerbic, controversial, and always compelling writer and cultural critic, Christopher Hitchens. Vanity Fair, where he was a contributing editor, announced last night that he had died from complications of cancer. He was 62 years old. Christopher Hitchens' diagnosis last year of cancer came as a shock to him and his many fans. He confronted his disease in part by writing, bringing the same unsparing insight to his mortality that he had directed at so many other subjects. NPR's David Folkenflik has this remembrance.
Let's first pause simply to acknowledge the broad range of subjects that drew Christopher Hitchens' caustic attention over the years. The list includes Henry Kissinger, Prince Charles, Bob Hope, Michael Moore, the Dalai Lama, and oh yes, this one.
If you're at Vanity Fair and you're talking about some of the things that Christopher has taken on, at the very top of the list is going to be Mother Teresa.
That's Graydon Carter, editor at Vanity Fair and a longtime friend. In 1994, Hitchens co-wrote and narrated a documentary on her called Hell's Angel.
This profane marriage between tawdry media hype and medieval superstition gave birth to an icon which few have since had the poor taste to question.
Hitchens wrote about her for the magazine, too. Carter says it didn't go over so well.
That's a tough subject to go after. And it was quite negative, and we had hundreds of subscription cancellations, including some from our own staff.
Christopher Eric Hitchens was born in 1949, the son of a British naval commander and a Navy nurse, and by his own account was trained to join the British elite. He studied at a private school and then at Oxford, picking up along the way a love of smoking, drinking, politics, philosophy, and argument. In 2010, Hitchens reviewed his life's path on NPR's Talk of the Nation as he spoke of his latest memoir.
I thought of, at one point, entitling the book Both Sides Now to describe the various ambivalences and contradictions that I've been faced with or that I contain, English and American, Anglo-Celtic and Jewish, Marxist and, what shall we say, I've been accused of being, let's say, accused of being a neoconservative and not always thought of it as an insult. Internationalist, but in a way patriotic.
In his student days, Hitchens was a leftist, opposed to the Vietnam War, and later wrote for The New Statesman before coming to the U.S. in the early 1980s to write for The Nation magazine. His anti-American writings, informed by his socialism, yielded over time to a muscular defense of Western and particularly American values. During another of his frequent NPR appearances, Hitchens said he sought to counteract people he considered apologists for Islamofascism.
Because I think it's the principal threat, and because I think that it tests our readiness to say that we think our civilization is worth fighting for and is better than those who attack it. And I look, not just with politicians, but full-time with commentators, intellectuals, friends, for any note of apology, any sort of weakness or indecision on that point, which I've come to consider to be morally and ideologically central.
There was a certain performative element to the certainty he projected in his work for Vanity Fair, Slate, and The Atlantic Monthly, among other publications. Sometimes it came across as a stunt, as in his claim in Vanity Fair that women could not truly be funny.
For most men, if they can't make women laugh, they are out of the evolutionary contest. With women, there's no need to be rendering yourself attractive to men in that way. We already find you attractive. Thanks.
The New York Times critic Alessandra Stanley called Hitchens polymorphously polemic for that one. But his stunts sometimes spanned the more serious issues as well, such as, in 2008, subjecting himself to waterboarding. He lasted for all of 16 seconds.
It's annoying to me now to read every time it's discussed in the press or in Congress that it simulates the feeling of drowning. It doesn't simulate the feeling of drowning. You are being drowned slowly.
Hitchens had all too vivid a glimpse into his own mortality, cutting short a lecture tour by explaining that he had been diagnosed with throat cancer. He borrowed a line from a character in a novel written by his friend Martin Amis. "I lit another cigarette. Unless I specifically inform you to the contrary, I am always lighting another cigarette." His friend Graydon Carter said in fall 2010 that, if anything, Hitchens' ordeal, which he has chronicled vividly, made the always entertaining dining companion a better listener.
It slowed it down so that he's not as pyrotechnic as he had been before. You get all the great stuff, but without this blinding sort of wizardry with his intelligence and the language.
For years, Hitchens had toured the country debating religious figures about his utter disbelief in the existence of a god. He didn't waver in the face of his inability to treat his disease. To the very end, whatever the argument joined, Hitchens' voice was an original. He is survived by his wife, the writer Carol Blue, and his three children. David Folkenflik, NPR News.